Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing, and Infinite Love, which shares stories and powerful examples of our magnificent potential as human and spiritual beings to develop our intuitive abilities and to conquer ordinary and even insurmountable challenges as we face constant change leading to personal growth. I am delighted today to welcome Steve Anal Noble, author of Personal Transitions, who shows us how he made his own personal shifts to approach life in a courageous way and shows us how change is the opportunity to achieve our greatest potential and live a gloriously authentic and valuable life experience. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, you're most welcome. Steve, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, on each show we explore through metaphysical, spiritual, scientific, and religious viewpoints all areas of life and many lifestyles, all seeking answers for questions which we all ask at some point in our life, which is, who are we, where did we come from, and what are we supposed to accomplish during the course of our life? I believe it is only through self-investigation and the mastery of our own emotions and attitudes that we can come to know the immense personal power we all hold for creating and living our best life experience. And in today's episode of Healing From Within, Steve will share his ideas on transition and how it differs from change, how global transition relates to personal transition, and describe how resistance affects this process. Steve will describe the spiritual dimension of a transition known as the dark soul, his Kundalini awakening process, and describe three different types of transitions. Steve Noble is an explorer of the soul and offers a valiant and very honest exploration of the mystical, psychological, and subconscious realms as we journey towards a clearer view of self and the human condition. Steve Noble is the founder of the London-based nonprofit Center for Contemporary Spiritual and Personal Development and is trained as a coach and NLP practitioner, teaches workshops, and also works at the London-based College of Psychic Studies. Steve, I often ask my guests to think back to their earliest memories in childhood or an experience or person which may have shown what their interests, values, and life goals would become, as I believe our destiny or life plan is often evident early on. Were there some signs of what you were really interested in or the challenges that you might face along the road?
Early on in life? Well, I had some very strong psychic experiences when I was very young, when I was about 4 or 5. I lived in a very old house that was, you could say, haunted, perhaps, and I had some very difficult experiences which frightened me at the time of being kind of grabbed by these spirits, and I had no idea of what it was all about, and I kept quiet about it. But many years later, when I shared my experiences with my two brothers, they also said they had the same experiences in that house. So I kind of thought, oh, well, I thought I was going a bit crazy, but actually they kind of validated the experience. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I did actually at a very early age start to sense the spirit world in a way.
I had the same experiences also. I felt energy and I saw movement in the room and the window, and I would crawl along the long hallway to my parents. I was scared.
Yes, I did that too.
yeah, and I and many of the guests on the show have also had these early experiences. And we could not, of course, explain it. And many of the people, our parents, for example, were not tuned into this ability, perhaps. And it is a bit frightening, but over time I have come to be very grateful for the fact to have my feet in two worlds. And to feel that internal energy that's around us and within us and that force of creative eternal life. So you're the first one who has explained it exactly the way I experienced it. Yeah, so Steve, let's go on. Yeah. What is transition and how does it differ from change?
Well, a transition is one of those big life shifts that happen at various stages in our life. It can be, in the book I talk about the question of soul, how this kind of soul or authentic side of ourself wants us to be living a very different life than perhaps we are living in our lives. And it's that kind of deeper part of us that kind of nudges us kind of on a slightly different path, or you could say back on our path. There's a question of soul. There's that side of an aspect of transition. The other aspect is the biological side, which I call a question of gravity, where there are certain time frames in our life where we kind of come because of the body growing up, you say adolescence, or because of astrological alignment, say Saturn return or Uranus opposition, or these kind of, or Chiron return, these kind of powerful moments in our lives. And sometimes the two, soul and biology, come together, you know, so we might have a Saturn return and a soul really pushing us to get on a certain track, and this can really produce a big shift in their life. So I'm sure many of your listeners have had various times in life where they felt a big shift, a big change happening. And the difference for me between transition and change is that transition has an aspect of external and internal shift, so whereas change is just external. So change, you can change your house, you can change your girlfriend, change your job, all these things, but really nothing shifts on the inside. A transition is different. Transition is where there's an outer shift and an inner shift. We have a shift of belief, identity, belonging, purpose. These things shift on the inside, so we are no longer the same person. So that's really the difference between a shift and a change, because there are many people who go through all kinds of changes and are basically the same kind of person, really. You know, I used to work in the City of London, the big financial centre, and there's a lot of kind of, you could say, adults there, but really adolescents in adult bodies. They haven't really grown up, a lot of them. They're still partying and drug taking and chasing money, and they're doing a lot of adolescent things to try and prove something, but really, some of it, not everyone, of course, but a number of people hadn't really grown up.
Now, Steve, you wrote in the book, and this will make it clear for some of our listeners, personal transitions are at the heart of the global shift happening now and are a way that the soul gets us to wake up to the reality of the essential self and the delusions of the world. Because of this, a transition is not something our personality or ego mind welcomes. We are conditioned to seek comfort, pleasure, and the familiar, yet we are subject to evolutionary and spiritual forces that want us to open, grow, deepen, and awaken. Change does not necessarily lead to personal growth or awakening. Change is only two-dimensional, whereas transition is three-dimensional, which involves depth, because our heart and soul are engaged.
Yes.
Yeah, that beautifully says who we are, what we're here to do, and what life is all about. So then a transition alters our core beliefs, which affect the changes and choices we make. Can you say something, Steve, on global transition and how it relates to personal transition?
Yes. Well, I was involved with a spiritual organization as a director for many years, and I heard in that time hundreds of different authors come and speak regularly every week on different subjects around, like what's going in the world and, you know, all kinds of spiritual paths and methodologies. And when I started hitting my own transition, in the last one in 2010, which is a really big one, which was a really involved, you mentioned a dark night of the soul, triggered by a Kundalini awakening experience. It was quite dramatic. And so I started writing the book just to kind of try and understand my own process, and I started to speak to other people and take note of their stories, and it eventually collated into this book. It took me 4 years to actually write it. But what gradually dawned on me as I was writing the book, there seemed to me to be a big connection between what's going on in the planet, what I call a global transition right now, and why so many people are being pulled into this transition process, which often involves some dimension of spiritual awakening. And what I feel is going on at the moment, and I've been looking around for other sources like channeled material or other spiritual teachers, and it does seem to me that we are in a period of dramatic transition, global transition. The planet's come to a point of, you know, some traditions talk about it, the Kali Yuga, you know, in the Hindu tradition, a time on the planet where there's a lot of spiritual darkness, where, you know, we're chasing money and material success, and we've forgotten about the deeper, you know, meanings of life. We've forgotten about our connection to the web of all things, about a connection to the spiritual side of life. So we are in this very dramatic period of change, and I think the 2012 was a marker of this shift, which, and I don't think it's going to be a dramatic quick shift, it's going to be a slow shift that might take decades to really fully come into being. But what I think is happening is an older, darker kind of paradigm of control on the planet, where we've seen, you know, if you look at the news, really, you know, I think people in 50 or 60 years' time will look back at this period as a great darkness, where, you know, how disputes are resolved through war, where how we grab other people's, you know, resources. So, you know, there's always constant war going on the planet. There's constant issues around pollution, poverty, you know, all environmental destruction, you know, nuclear weapons, all these kind of things.
And you mentioned four systems that need to grow up and enable us to do things differently now. Can you tell us about those four systems?
Yeah, because I think the moment that there's these four systems, particularly which I feel are blocking, it's not that there are not a lot of well-meaning people in these systems, but for centuries or even thousands of years, the first one I'll mention is dogmatic religion. Now, in the West, I could talk about Christianity, because that's the one I grew up in, but it's not the only one, certainly, which is a dogmatic religion. Christianity has been with us, you know, it came along with, it was birthed really in the Roman Empire, it's been spread through the Roman Empire. As the Roman Empire collapsed, you had it adopted by all kinds of so-called barbarian kings and everything. So really the history of Christianity has, even though it's a very peaceful religion, has a kind of bloody kind of connection, and it's full of kind of bloodshed, and of course there was a kind of destruction of pagan traditions, and then in Europe the kind of burning trials with witches being burnt. So really the original message of Christianity, I think, was a great light. I do believe that Christ and that message was revolutionary, and I read very much about the kind of Aramaic teachings of Christ in the original language, Aramaic, which is beautiful and it's powerful. I really encourage people to read it. But the church itself, I think, has been a very blocking force for soul, for spiritual awakening, even though it's full of very well-meaning. And I used to work in a church for many years in alternatives. But the organization itself is really devoid of light. Yeah.
I think it is almost all religions that have been based on a patriarchal society, forgetting the fact that we are energetic souls equal to each other in energy, perhaps not in the human life in equal in abilities, because we're all unique in the physical aspect of our lives. But our souls, our energy is universal. And it is in knowing that you go beyond any structure or belief system to know, as you said, what Jesus said was simply about knowing who we are as souls of eternal potential and light, wisdom, and universal life. Having a force beyond what anyone can teach us, but knowing that personal alignment to universal source or energy or the divine or God, however we wish to call it. And you are, I think, right on the money, and I say the same thing, that if you see it in limited terms, we see it as separation, and we see it as a way to limit our potential. If we see it in the light of what it is meant to be seen in, we are, women and men, children, all equal and all supposed to thrive and work together without so much competition, cooperation, and move forward into the energy that we are, and simply must recognize or remember once again. And then you go on to talk about narrow-minded science, also a big problem.
Again, I mean, science is one of those things that has brought a lot of benefits. You know, it has helped to kind of stem some of the worst aspects of dogmatic religion, but really it's science can be cold, clinical, unfeeling, anti-heart, anti-light. It is a new kind of religion in a way, a religion of materialism. It's not interested in anything that doesn't really fit its theories. And so if you, for example, anybody has a miracle cure in hospital, and I know a few of them, the scientists kind of would tell you, or doctors would say, well, you know, maybe there was a misdiagnosis. They're not really interested in studying these things, which is kind of important. How can there be miracle cures? I mean, that would be a very good thing to study. So I think there's a great author that I did here called biologist Rupert Sheldrake, who wrote a great book called The Science Delusion. So if anybody's really interested in looking at science, that's a great book to read. But at the same time, there are a number of scientists who are sounding very mystical, and there's that great film, What the Bleep Do We Know, and Down the Rabbit Hole, which showed a lot of scientists who were talking very much about spirituality and science and the connection between the two. So it's not all scientists, of course, just like in religion, it's not all priests who are completely devoid of light. You know, there
It is all systems or people who forget that we must always keep an open mind and open heart and look forward, because we can't stay rigid in one belief system or one pattern, because change and transition is happening all the time. It's being given to us, and those in spirit wish us to discover it so we can grow and evolve as the universe is evolving. So there's really the key. The key is merging everything we know and keep growing from those beginning sources. I mean, we can't go back 4,000 years and think that the information that they gave us was enough. It was a beginning, but we must forge forward and always add to it. And then you talked about biased education, how it favors logic and rationality and memory and left-brained intellect as opposed to intuition, imagination, and vision. And again, that's a restriction. Anything that restricts or separates the potential unity or multidimensional wholeness is not going to cut it. It's not going to work. Right?
I think the education has been so biased in terms of the left brain and logic, and it's been so dismissive of imagination and intuition. But that's the problem, really. And I think the future, really, and this is what the soul calling has to come through, really, has to come through these systems. And one day, I think education will much more appreciate the synergy of both, which is where real genius lies, really. You don't find many geniuses who are purely left-brained. And, of course, the other problem is with people who rebel against it and go completely right-brained and ignore their left-brain ability. It's really the combination of both that really education of the future, and I'm hoping that in the decades to come that the planet will shift so that actually we teach our children to honor both. And actually, how do you bring a synergy of both together? Because at the moment, it's like we have these divorced parents inside of us, a left brain and a right brain. They don't really speak to one another or know how to support each other. And so that's really the evolution of this system, I think, education, which by and large is a brilliant system, but in terms of soul calling and soul light, the soul has to get through, you know, because if you have developed an extremely left-brained approach to life, you also develop what I think of as a great inner critic, you know, which will stamp on any intuition that comes through. And anybody who's been trained in this extreme left-brain way who comes to spirituality, they have to kind of deal with this inner critic. There is this very left-brain, out-of-balance logic that wants to stamp on anything that's not rational.
And I agree. Once again, we're saying the same thing. It is in the merging of all the parts, the puzzle pieces, and bringing it together that we will have wholeness. And you go on to tell us something about your own experience of transition and then your Kundalini awakening, which came later on. But tell us something about yourself, and how it all started for you, that you ended on this road of discovery, of self-discovery and self-realization of your potential and your talents. And that you were born and you had it as a 4-year-old. But you didn't know what to do with it, and you didn't know where it would lead you.
For many, it all laid dormant for me until my father died, and that created a great explosion in my life. And then I remember leaving the hospital thinking, there must be more to life than this. It was just really the way my family handled his death more than, I knew he was kind of dying, and it was still a shock, but that sent me on a search. I found all these spiritual teachers. I started to, and that, created a transition out of my marriage, unfortunately, because my ex-wife, now ex-wife, couldn't bear the thought. She was a very strong Catholic, and we had two children, and it was a shock to both of us that actually our marriage fell apart because I was finding spirituality and my ex-wife couldn't tolerate it. So the transition, a very painful one, was out of this marriage and then into this whole journey of exploring spirituality. I explored things from Tantra to shamanism to light body meditations. I came to America and trained with these channels in light body, and I just was on a whole journey, dived into NLP coaching, you know, anything like that. I was into it, all kinds of personal development seminars. I then had the transition around, how do I align my working life? I was working for local government, and with my rest of my life, which was all about spirituality, all my friends, all my connections were spiritual. So then I left that career and took a leap of faith, and eventually found myself, after a couple of years, working in a spiritual organization. So I'd been through these transitions of relationship and divorce and career.
But Steve, all necessary. Every relationship and every experience I have found lasts just as long as is needed for us to move to another level of self. And there's nothing bad or good. It's only experience that we're having. And I kind of think maybe you were looking to also find if consciousness survived physical death after your dad. Now, I had also an experience when my dad passed. It was about 20 years ago. And the night before he passed, I had a dream. And my grandfather was standing next to me. And he said, "You're going to have to write something for your father." And I woke up and I didn't know what it was. I never had a dream or experience like that. And the next day, my mom called and said my dad had passed. And I wrote his eulogy, but I could not forget the feeling of the energy or the connection, and that sent me on my journey to find out what spiritual communication is all about and where do we go upon dying. I really was not trained to believe in an afterlife, and the experience I had was more real than anything else that had happened to me.
You get these pushes, right? You get a push from spirit in a certain way you don't expect, and that is exactly what a transition is, which takes us in a certain direction. My most recent experience was meeting a woman, having a tantric meditation with her, and then having this kundalini experience, which was really an explosion of energy in my body. I'd heard about it from yoga teachers. I didn't believe in it, but then when it happened, it was like, oh my God, what's this? That experience lasted for a few years, really. It stayed with me for a long time. And after a few months, I felt myself falling into this dark night of the soul experience, which is a terrible experience of a loss of belonging, of purpose, of meaninglessness, of deep depression, of there's no point to me being here. And I went through that for several months and out the other side.
Why did you go into that dark night of the soul after having had the kundalini, a lightening experience and an awakening and a connection to the light? What caused that to happen?
Well, my life started to collapse after, you know, with this strong experience. I also started to having things like I was blowing up electricity circuits around me. I was exploding crystals around me. All kinds of weird things were going on, and my life started to collapse. I stopped feeling so passionate about my work at Alternative. After feeling totally passionate for many years, slowly I couldn't find any meaning. Why am I doing this? A lot of the things that had meaning in my life stopped happening. I don't know why. It's almost like the transition was pushing me out of an old life, even though it was one that I loved, into a new life. And there was a great period of confusion around letting go of things that I once loved but didn't seem to love anymore, and that sent me into this deep first confusion, then a depression, and this dark night of the soul where I really thought I'm not sure why I'm here on the planet anymore. I went and saw about 18 healers, and none of them really helped until I found one healer. I mean, she said to me I had a walk-in experience, which is possible, I don't know.
But you know, transition, you described it as a process of maturation. And
yes.
What you went through was also a process of maturation. And you also,
yes.
You also talk about integrity, meaning not necessarily to conform to societal norms. So courage then comes to mind. It's a favorite word of mine. And you talk about it, and you describe it from the French word, coeur, meaning heart. So heart and soul are terms that refer to the same essence, and that's what you were experiencing. The heart, the soul, the energy of the universe coursing through your body. So as my soul started to cry out to reach to a higher level, there was resistance from a lot of people around me who didn't want me to change or grow or be different than I had been before, but I couldn't do anything but move forward. And I used to have a remembrance of horses and soldiers in the Roman Empire. You started talking about that at the beginning of the show. I could feel myself as a soldier on the horse. I could feel the horse's energy, and they were connected in their intention to hold true to their need to resist fear, and they had to wait for the appropriate moment to move. And feeling this power and the straining of the horses as they waited, it felt like working with this divine force, and it felt so powerful to me. I think you were experiencing something like that, such power. And that's when we can find the true purpose of our life, which is for our souls to mature and refine and grow in beauty, kindness, truth, and move through all these resistance and restrictions to personal freedom. But it's not an easy road.
No.
And
well, the outcome in the end is finally is one of these things where you start releasing what you say inner potential. Courage is definitely one of those things. It's definitely the journey you can release. There are other ones that I talk about in the book. So, and these are things where we have no idea what's inside of ourselves, you know, because we've lived many lifetimes, as you said, we live in a multidimensional universe. And so when we take the journey, we find ourselves able to do things or know things that we didn't know was possible. You know, it's like we make a journey that we didn't know was there, we have abilities we didn't know was there, and we find we can actually do things. I mean, in my life, I never knew I'd write 4 books or direct an organization or run a coaching business until I actually started doing it. If I'd have, somebody had said to me 20 years ago, that's what you're going to be doing, I wouldn't have believed them, you know. So the journey itself is what unlocks these qualities, as you say, and like your journey has unlocked memories of past lives and connection to soul and ability to speak to spirits and heal. And people, they unlock their own, and we're all different, not everyone will be a healer. Many people I've met actually have become healers after a transition, but some become teachers, some become just wise people holding light, some go on to be guardians of children, and there are all kinds of ways this inner potential can manifest, actually.
Yeah, but it all comes from going within to our true source. I would like to thank you, Steve Anao.
Thank you.
Noble author of Personal Transitions, a book that is about those times when we are called on to make a powerful shift in our lives and explore what happens when we go with this calling and move forward into a new phase of life. The book includes stories of radical transitions and the spiritual dimension or transformation process that results. To purchase this book, go to stephennoble.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored Steve's personal Kundalini awakening process, a clearer view of how personal transitions and global changes are now happening at massive rates worldwide, and how, though we always have free will and sometimes try to resist what is best for us because of past cultural, societal, and familial patterns of behavior, our deepest soul needs and will continue to cry out for growth and personal development, moving from the comfortable to the real with new perspectives and choices is now possible. As part of the global stabilizing of male and female cooperative ways for our children and societies to thrive, Steve describes a time of the past when the patriarchal systems have suppressed the feminine mystique through war, religion, politics, and economics for thousands of years, and perhaps this resistance to a true soul recognition of the equalitarian nature of human dignity for all of life is now fueling the changes for men and women to move forward towards a sense of being at unity with our feminine and masculine resources, improving all aspects of our cultural and societal structures. Steve and I would have you welcome all transitions that come to awaken us to our connections to our physical form and to our inner soul purposes, dreams, and goals, and to relinquish the masks and realities of the mind and ego to allow the hidden light of the soul to bring about an era of personal and global transformation. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in their fields of science, spirituality, religion, medicine, psychology, and the arts share their awareness of life in its ever-evolving and expanding nature for greater wisdom and love. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVisions7Radio.com. Thank you.